Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Nick Kalen, former Falcons wide receiver Harry Douglas in for Carl and Mike today. Hopefully all of you having a great Black Friday and a great happy Thanksgiving weekend. A four-day stretch of football, family, food, and we got a lot of football to get to, Harry Douglas. Before we get to the dog report coming up in just a moment, let's quickly hit on the college football today. We'll start with the game that went final as Texas at home loses to Iowa State 23-20. I don't know, Harry, something about football in the state of Texas. I feel like Mike McCarthy, Tom Herman, it's kind of like that Spider-Man gif where they're pointing back and forth at each other. Like, no, you're the clown. No, I'm the clown. That's a bad look for Tom Herman today, man.
Or it's something about these coaches making these dumb decisions and deciding to fake punt when you're up 7 points.
Yeah,
and clearly that gave Iowa State the momentum to go ahead in that ball game. Well, I just and they were backed up. I don't understand who's helping these guys make this decisions. Do they need some help making the decision making? I can help them if they need me. Tell them to call me. I help anybody if anybody needs it.
I hope it's not any of these analytics dopes.
Like I don't get it, man. They're literally backed up.
Yep.
And decide to run a fake punt, and they're up 7 points in the ball game.
Makes no sense.
This was like one minute and some change left in the third quarter.
Yep.
I don't understand.
There's
then you end up losing that football game.
Oh, yeah. And there's a major difference between being aggressive and being flat-out negligent. And that's just a negligent
decision.
You use
that word. I use stupidity.
I like that. Stupidity is even more simple. Nice job out of you. All right, here we go. North Carolina, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish on the road in Chapel Hill. North Carolina went up 7-0 with a Sam Howell touchdown. Notre Dame just answered, extra point pending, as it is about to be 7-7 midway through the first quarter. And if you love good quarterback play, this game is right up your alley because you've got Sam Howell, who has 62 touchdowns since the start of last season. That's the most in all of college football. And then you've got Ian Book, who is 28-3 lifetime as a starter for the Irish.
Well, you look at these two teams, and I'll start with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Coming into this season, my questions for Notre Dame is who on the outside was going to be a threat for this Notre Dame football team? Because right. I knew coming in, they had a great offensive line. They still do. They have some hogs up there, one of the best in the entire country. But outside of the running backs, and they have two great ones in Kyra Williams and Chris Tyree, mm-hmm. who are going to make the plays on the outside? And of late, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. It's Ben, number 11. I'll say Big Tall Slim, number 11 Ben for Notre Dame. Listen, the kid, he's about 6'5", 6'6", can go up over anybody and make the play. But I think the key factor for me on the outside for Notre Dame is going to be Avery Davis. Of the last few weeks, I've seen this young man actually step up, pick up. He's faster than what I thought he was. He's beginning to make plays, and I love listening to Mike Golick Jr. talk about him because Gojo actually went to Notre Dame, and I did some work in the past with Gojo. So he is a Notre Dame fanatic, and I know he's watching that game right now, and I can't wait to watch his tweets later on. But the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, they actually have guys on defense that can make some plays. Now, when you look at North Carolina, they have underachieved this year, right? They have underachieved because coming into this season, people talked about Sam Howell and him being a Heisman Trophy candidate, but they have lost games that they shouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
And with the roster that they have offensively and Deami Brown and Das Newsome, and then you have the two running backs and Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, I don't understand how they're losing these football games, and they have the recruits on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you can't lose you can't lose to Florida State.
No.
No,
like
I'm with you
there. Tamari Fox, they have Chaz Surratt. They have guys on the defensive side of the ball that can actually play the game, but they have to figure out, and Mac Brown has to figure out how can they stop losing games that they're not supposed to lose.
Yeah,
because
I'm with you.
This North Carolina team I thought was actually going to contend for the ACC title with Clemson.
Well, they can make a statement today by beating the Irish.
Well, they can, but do I think they're going to do it? Probably not. It's a good chance they can. But I just think Notre Dame is in the driver's seat right now, because if Notre Dame goes undefeated, right, and they lose to Clemson in a title game, they're going to get into the playoffs. You can't knock off the number one team in the nation, and then that number one team, if they avenge their loss, you can't tell Notre Dame they're not going to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, and we'll delve into the playoff, and we'll delve into some of the SEC games as well. But right now, Bo Johnson, let's get to the Dogs report.
Dukes at Bell on the sidelines with the Dogs.
All right, Dog Report brought to you by Cool Ray Heating and Air. And obviously, an interesting one coming up Saturday evening as the Dogs head to Columbia to take on former Georgia quarterback, now the interim coach in the wake of the firing of Will Muschamp, as Mike Bobo is at the helm for South Carolina. And I'll just tell you right now, Harry, like, I am just so down on Kirby Smart. And it's hard to say that because,
makes two of us.
I'm sitting back Saturday night. I'm watching JT Daniels throw dart after dart after dart. You know, 14 months removed since his last start at USC. And then post-game, I hear JT say, yeah, I mean, I was out for the Arkansas game, and then I was cleared medically. But after that, it was a coach's decision. And I'm thinking, and I said this yesterday, like, Kirby knows better than me. He's there, I'm not. So I'll give him the benefit for 1 week, perhaps 2 weeks. Okay, he's cleared, but he doesn't have the playbook down, or he's favoring, or he's a little cautious, and it's in the back of his mind. But basically, for 3 weeks after that, you still stuck with Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
And you robbed Georgia fans of JT Daniels against Kyle Trask, and you robbed us of JT against Mac Jones. Games that if JT starts, at least we have a better chance of winning.
So now I look at this as the question lies, did Kirby Smart hurt this football team again with another unsuccessful decision at the quarterback position? And like you said, yes, my answer was yes as well. And now if JT Daniels goes out against South Carolina and puts up the performance like he did against Mississippi State, everyone is going to start looking at Kirby Smart in a different way, in a very, very different way. Now listen, Kirby Smart was brought here because Mark Richt couldn't get this team over the hump. Now, I'm going to say this. Kirby has failed to do the same thing in actual
reality. Oh, he's Mark 2.0.
Listen, he has failed to do the same thing. He's a great recruiter. But what good is recruiting if you can't win at all?
Well, and the worst part is, you know, whether we want to call him Mark Richt 2.0, I've called him the Jim Harbaugh of the South. The reality is, like, let me give you a little analogy. Like, okay, so we know Kirby can get the quarterbacks, right? He got Justin Fields.
Yep.
He got Jamie Newman. Now, that was a COVID opt-out, not his fault. He got JT Daniels. He can get the elite quarterbacks. He just can't keep them or figure out when to pull the plug on a guy who's not the guy and go to the elite guy. It's like a guy who you always see with a hot chick, right?
But can't keep him.
He's got a great-looking girlfriend, a total smoke show for 3 or 4 weeks, and then he's with a new chick. And you're like, wait, all right. And sooner or later, you're like, okay, I've seen him with 5 or 6 different girlfriends. Sooner or later, it's a him problem. That's how I feel about Kirby.
Nick, I'll say this, and I have said this before on this show. You're at UGA. You're Kirby Smart. You had a chance to get Deshaun Watson. You didn't get him. You didn't get Trevor Lawrence. You had Justin Fields, and he's gone now. I need somebody else to start helping Kirby make these decisions, because Kirby is a defensive coach. I need some people to start helping Kirby make these offensive decisions, because of late, Kirby is not making the right ones. And it's like you said, it's hurting this football team. When I looked at Stetson Bennett against, I was actually at the Alabama and Georgia game sitting up watching, and I was like, my goodness, how many times can you miss a certain throw?
Yep.
And it was over and over again, and A lot of people were high on this Georgia football team, and I actually was, but I think it's starting to rub off now on the defense to the point to where the offense has been so terrible. Now the defense is starting not to make plays. And you look at the run game, Georgia is actually usually known for their run game. They haven't really been able to run the football this year either.
Yeah. You know what's amazing, too, is Tuesday night, the college football playoff rankings first installment comes out. It gets revealed, and Georgia comes in at number 9.
Listen, don't get me started on that, Nick.
But like I almost
lost my mind when I seen Georgia with 2 losses at number 9.
Well, I think it's the JT Daniels effect, but my point was going to be, like, if you look at Northwestern ahead of them at 8, Cincinnati at 7, Florida, A&M, you're telling me that the Dogs can't beat these teams with JT Daniels on a neutral field? So it just makes you sit here and say, man, we could be sitting right there in the 4 spot or the 5 spot or maybe the 6 spot had we went to JT a couple of weeks earlier.
Listen, I gotta take it a step further for you. Right now, the best win for this Georgia football team is the Auburn Tigers. Auburn is terrible to me. Auburn should have 2 or 3 more losses than they have if they wouldn't have got cheated out of those, if they wouldn't have... The refs wouldn't have helped them out and actually made the correct calls that they were supposed to make. They may have 2 or 3 more losses on their schedule.
Yep.
So when people tell me that Auburn is a solid win for Georgia, I'm looking at them like they're crazy. Like, are y'all watching the same Auburn team that I'm watching each week? Because number one, Bo Nix hasn't figured it out.
No.
They might not even have the head coach they have now next year.
You know what's funny about Bo Nix is, like, I feel like there was all this hype because of his dad, Patrick Nix, and he kind of runs around and he ad-libs and makes plays like Johnny Manziel used to. But if his name was Bo Johnson, you think he'd get the love he gets around Auburn fans? He's a legacy
right
from his dad.
Because Bo is back here behind the screen. Like, why did he throw me under the
All right, Bo Morgan. Is that better? The
normal
producer.
You're not
going
to do that to my guy. You're not going to do that to my guy.
I'm just saying, like, I watch Bo Nix, and, you know, he's okay. And I know he's only a sophomore. Yeah. So he's got another year or two. But I'm just not a Bo Nix guy.
I'm going to take it a step further for you. Now, this Georgia football team actually struggled against a terrible Tennessee team also.
I know.
It took a defensive second half to actually pull through that game. This Georgia football team struggled with Kentucky. This Georgia football team struggled with Mississippi State last week. So it's not like this team is just bona fide, just good and great like this. Now, I thought coming into this season that this defense was going to be elite. But maybe I was wrong, or maybe the not performance on the offensive side has rubbed off on the defense, and they're tired of it too.
All right, we'll continue the college football conversation on the other side. If you guys want to jump in, 404-741-0929. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We'll get to the college football playoff, the top 4. Notre Dame, North Carolina going on right now, which will certainly have an effect on those rankings. And then also, some news in the world of coaching with COVID. We know the GOAT is going to be out for the Iron Bowl, but another marquee program without their coach. That's coming up next here on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, 422, welcome back into a Friday edition Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Nick Cale and Harry Douglas in for the guys today. Another edition of Yeah Man or Nah Man coming up in just about 20 minutes. We will get back to our college football conversation in just a couple of minutes, but we've got some big news coming down regarding our Falcons, Harry Douglas, as a couple of things that are not so good if you're looking for that fourth victory on Sunday. First of all, Todd Gurley has been ruled out. Gurley, with his knee issue, will not play in Sunday's game against the Raiders. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network reports. No details on the knee injury itself, but obviously he was out all week, so it looks like we will be seeing more of Ito Smith and Brian Hill in the Falcons' backfield.
Ooh, man. Listen, next man up. Next man up. Listen, Brian Hill, Ito Smith, Quadre Olsen.
Yeah.
Need y'all to step up, man.
Let me ask you this, because you don't want to make light of anybody with an injury, but Todd has struggled this year. I mean, he's had 2 really good games. He's had a ton of touchdowns, but there's been 6 or 7 other games where he's plodding along, 3 yards, cloud of dust. Is this a possible opportunity where maybe the Falcons' future at running back is on display?
Well, I'll say this. First and foremost, like you just said, you never want anybody to get hurt. You don't want anybody to get injured. And as a player, you don't want your opportunity to come at the expense of someone getting injured.
Right.
But injuries are part of the ball, are part of the game,
mm-hmm.
right? So my mindset would be, listen, next man up, it's time to make some noise. Because right now, these other backs that are playing behind Todd Gurley, Brian Hill, Ito Smith, Quadri Olison, they are auditioning for the next head coach, if it's not Raheem, and the next GM, and for a position to stay here in Atlanta with this organization. So they're looking at it probably like, listen, it's time to go out here and ball now.
Mm-hmm.
This is my opportunity. We didn't want the opportunity to come this way. This is a guy that's in the same meeting room as us, so we don't want the opportunity to come this way. But the opportunity has presented itself. And I know a guy like Quadri Olison is just waiting so he can get opportunities because he got a tiny bit last year. He didn't get many this year. I know he just now started being active recently. I know he's looking forward to making some noise running the football. And I can say this, Brian Hill actually has looked good mm-hmm. the moments he has been in the game this year.
For sure.
Now, Ito Smith, I haven't seen much of Ito this year. And we're used to seeing Ito the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't seen Ito that much this year.
The other news, Julio Jones officially a game-time decision on Sunday, which could very well mean a repeat of last week where we see him in for a series, then he's getting some medical attention on the sideline. And I said this when we started talking about the game about 2 hours ago, that I think this is a game that's going to be played in the 30s. This feels like a 34-30, 31-33 type game. If Todd Gurley is out and Julio Jones is only, I mean, I'm just throwing out an example here. If he only plays half of the snaps because he's in and out of the lineup, I don't like our chances as far as matching series for series, firepower with firepower.
Now, Nick, I'll say this. The first game that Julio got hurt this year and he was hobbled and couldn't be out there,
yep.
After that game right there, I'm going to tell you exactly what Dirk Cutter should have did. Each week from that moment on, you have a plan with Julio in it. You have a plan without Julio in it. Because I think some of the times that this offense has been hurt is that the fact that when Julio gets hurt and is not in the ball game, that they still trying to stick to the same plan as if Julio is playing the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
That's been part of the problem. You have to have a plan with Julio in it. You have to have a plan with Julio out of it because, and it is no knock against anybody on this roster. I'm stating facts. Julio and Calvin Ridley don't need you to scheme up routes for them to get open. Just point blank, period. Now, wide receivers 3 through 5, 3 through 6, you have to scheme things up so those guys can get open. Whether it's a cut split, whether it's putting them in motion, whether it's just schematics, just scheme, period. You have to scheme things up to get those guys open. You can't just ask those guys to go out there against a number one corner or a number two corner who happens to be good, I'll say the New Orleans Saints, who has a damn good secondary and say, hey, guys, get open, gets one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to help those guys out. So if I know Julio this week has been limited in practice, I'm going to make a plan for Julio playing. I'm going to make a plan for Julio if he's not going to be out there. Therefore, within a ball game, I'm not stuck with my guys at wide receiver 3 through 5, 3 through 6, trying to run stuff that Julio runs because he doesn't need much help getting open. The other guys do.
Yeah, yeah, and this feels like a game where we've got to have other guys step up, and I'm going beyond Calvin Ridley. This has got to be, you know, Russell Gage,
yes.
Zacchaeus has got to step up, and I'm wondering, with a guy like Todd Gurley out, and Julio, let's say he's hobbled, is this one of those games where maybe Dirk Cutter, and I'm crossing my fingers because I don't think Dirk Cutter's ever going to change. He is what he is. But is this a game where maybe you use a little bit more tempo and more pace and just try to get cheap, quick ones against the Raiders' defense? It's just not that good?
Well, I'm surprised that they haven't went to this more because when you look at the history of Matt Ryan, what has he been great at? What's one of the consistencies that he's been great at?
2 minute drill.
2 minute, no huddle.
Yep.
You want to know how I know Nick?
Because you played with him?
I was there with him. Since his rookie year, and not many rookie quarterbacks could come into the NFL and do the things that he's done.
Right.
And have the learning curve and learn and just have that much knowledge the way that Matt Ryan did. But one of the things that we used to start out games in no huddle in 2 minutes. Why? Because Matt Ryan was so good in it. He was so great at getting us into the right play. He was so great into fooling the defense. He was, and then he doesn't have to think as much. He can just go out there and play, just hit the guy that's open, and do what he do. I'm surprised they haven't went to that more, because when they play with tempo, when they go no huddle, when they go 2 minute, you see them thrive. So I wouldn't be surprised if actually this is a game that they do that more.
All right, Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nick Cale, Harry Douglas in for the guys today. That is the latest with your Atlanta Falcons. We'll have more on the Falcons report coming up at 5 o'clock today. Back to the college conversation, because COVID is running rampant, and it's really hitting home to some great coaches that are currently the head coach of teams in the college football playoff. We know Nick Saban will miss the Iron Bowl tomorrow as he tested positive for COVID on Wednesday. This obviously the first true time he's had the virus, had a positive test, and had symptoms. The first time around, he followed it up with a false positive because he had three consecutive negative tests in a row. But now also Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State, testing positive for COVID-19. So Bama and the Buckeyes, both well over three touchdown favorites against Auburn and Illinois, respectively. From your perspective, what is the impact of these guys not being physically present for both games?
Well, I'll say when you talk about Nick Saban, I don't think the impact is going to be that big, just because the fact that they earlier within this year they had this come up.
Yeah.
So they actually had a opportunity to plan for these things and have a plan B versus when your plan A is not there. So I think those guys actually had a plan for this. Now, when it comes to Ohio State, they're playing Illinois. Okay, they're playing Illinois.
I love me sleeping on my man, Lovie Smith.
I'm not sleeping on him. I'm just
with his Santa Claus beard.
I'm just spitting that straight fi. Remember how we came into the show?
That's right.
Me and my boy Nick, we're gonna spit some straight fi for y'all. Not fire. We're gonna spit some straight fi.
Right.
That's all I'm spitting.
I got you.
Illinois is not gonna do anything with Ohio State. Number one, they don't even have the recruits that Ohio State has. Then number two, they have a quarterback that's probably gonna go in the top four, top five. So I'm going to lean my head on Justin Fields.
I'm with you on the Ohio State angle. Like, I mean, I don't think Illinois has got a chance. And I look at Bama, and they're a 24-point favorite over an Auburn team. And this is why, like, I said this yesterday when I was in for John and Hugh. Is Auburn going to win the game because Saban's not there? No, I don't think that's the case. Mm-mm. But I can't imagine sitting here saying, if Nick Saban is the GOAT and he's not present at a game, that there has to be some sort of impact and fall off, especially for an Auburn team who has defeated Nick Saban in Alabama three times in the last 10 years. It's not like Auburn can't beat Alabama. Usually they need a miraculous ending to do it. It's in the most dramatic way possible. But I still feel like Auburn's got a puncher's chance because Gus Malzahn does Gus Malzahn things in this rivalry.
Well, I'll say first and foremost, Auburn has lost too much defensively to even hang with Alabama on their offensive end.
Yeah, their D's terrible.
They lost too much defensively. And now when you look at Alabama and you look at the recipe for beating Alabama over the last, I'll say, 10 years, the recipe for beating Alabama is tempo, a dual-threat quarterback,
mm-hmm.
shifts in motions and things of that nature, and just speeding the game up. That's the recipe for beating Bama.
Drive Saban crazy.
So it's not necessarily, okay, Nick Saban is there, they're doing this. Listen, that's just the recipe for beating Alabama. A dual-threat quarterback that you have to account for. Tempo, stack formation, shifts in motions, and things of that nature, and just going fast. That's the recipe. That has been the recipe. And if teams going in playing Alabama, I thought Kirby Smart and them should have done it when they went to Alabama and played that game early this year. I thought just going with tempo would have been better for them, but that's not what they did.
All right, that's going to do it for the college football conversation. We'll come back with another installment of Yeah Man or Nah Man, narrated by Bo Nix. I mean, Bo Morgan. No, not Bo Morgan, Bo Johnson. I'll get my Bo's right. Bo knows best. Yeah Man or Nah Man, coming up next here on Dukes and Bell. Nick and Harry in for the guys. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan.
All right, time for Yeah Man or No Man here on Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Nick Kale, Harry Douglas in for Carl and Mike today, and Bo Johnson is in for Bo Morgan. Let me hit you guys really quick. I just did this during the break, since this has become like a little bit of a theme here. We got to go with our quick Bo power rankings. You want my top five real quick?
Talk to me.
All right, here we go. Number one, Bo Jackson. Number two, Bo Morgan. Number three, Bo Johnson. Number four, Bo Nix. Number five, Bo Pelini. There's your Bo power rankings. Initial installment. Could depend. It could vary on the day.
Oh, man.
Throw that out there.
Y'all look crazy.
Right.
Y'all look crazy.
I guess I'll let you, you know, roll with that since, you know, Bo is a full-timer here at 99 The Game. But I am much taller and much more better looking than
but
you.
But I need to say this, though. I need to say this.
Yep.
My guy, Bo Johnson, being here playing that. Ah. Listen.
And also play better music than he does.
When he plays that music, you should see me in studio, Nick. I'm in this thing bouncing around.
Yeah.
Because number one, it's cold. I know you're listening, Sean. Sean, I'm in studio right now and I'm freezing. I should have brought my sweatshirt, but it's okay. Man. I'm going to get through this.
All right, here we go. Yeah, man or nah, man. Bo Johnson's got the questions. Let's roll.
All right, so I'm sure that y'all saw all of the trash talk going on Twitter. Before last week's Falcons-Saints game, it does tend to happen that week. People calling it hate week these days. Nobody's talking more trash than your boy, Roddy White there.
My brother
yeah,
from another mother.
Hey, look, I love Roddy too, man. He's a great dude. So after Roddy White goes talking all this trash on Twitter, then we have the game, and then everybody knows about how head coach from New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton, goes and finds one of Roddy's tweets and retweets, and that's all he does. He doesn't say anything or nothing. Mm. But then people want to start jumping on Sean Payton, calling him petty. Petty or not petty?
I don't know if it's petty or if it's just such an epic troll job. Just like, all right, I'm not going to say anything. We won the game. I'm just going to retweet something that makes you look bad since you were flapping your gums. I'm actually okay with that.
I'm going to say this. It's not petty, but I am going to tell you the conversation I had with Roddy White.
Okay.
We was talking about this. Listen, all those players for the Atlanta Falcons better take that junk personal. Because when you have a staple like Roddy White who has your back like that, and you go out there and put that performance out there like you did and displayed, and then they head coach retweeted what he said because he's putting his name on the line for y'all, y'all better take that personal. And the next time y'all play him, y'all better do something about it. Point blank, period.
That's a great take on that.
Point blank, period.
So I would imagine, had anybody been on the field when you and Roddy were on the field together, there was a lot of trash talking. Did y'all talk trash back and forth with each other to the other team?
Listen, if I was there, Rod was there. If Rod was there, I was there. Listen, me, Roddy, and Eric Weems, we were more of the trash talkers. Julio and Hester, they were the more laid-back guys. But if things popped off, they coming over there regardless, and we all going to get them $15,000 fine. So that's how it was, though, man. Listen, you mess with one, you're going to mess with all.
You were cool with those $15,000 fines?
It is what it is, man. I have kids. So my kid's not going to go back and watch no film and say somebody punked their daddy.
Ooh.
It's not going down like that. I take that 15K fine all day, any day.
All right.
So who were your favorite DBs to talk trash back and forth to?
Whoever I was playing.
Everybody?
And it wasn't just DBs. It was coaches.
Linebackers. Oh, coaches too.
It
nice.
Was coaches. It was a couple times me and Eric Weems went to some head coaches in pregame and told them what we were going to do to their DBs.
Now, let me ask you this. What is the origination of the trash talk for Harry Douglas? Is it something that you needed to do to get yourself to the level you needed to be at to play at the peakest of levels?
Nah, I'm just going to talk trash and demean you any way possible. You're the enemy to me.
All right, so is it a psychological battle? Is it to get into the opposition's head?
Just let them know how I feel about them out there on that football field. Point blank, period.
I like it.
I'm not trying to be friends with anybody on the football field. Now, if we cool, we cool after the game.
Mm-hmm.
But on that field, man, listen, it's kill or be killed.
All right, can I come clean with something really quickly here?
Go right ahead.
So I'm 37 years old.
Talk to me.
All right. Now, I know you were with the Falcons for 7 years, but give me the year. What year you started and what year you left?
I started in 2008, and my last year was 14.
Okay, so you came in. It was Matt's rookie year, right?
Yep, we came in together.
So it was either Madden 8 or Madden 09. Dude, I used to rock the Falcons online on Xbox, and I would be rolling with Roddy and you and Tony Gonzalez. I got to tell you, you were a pretty darn tough cover in the slot, in the Xbox days. Just throwing that out there.
Hey, listen, but more on the trash talk, though, Matt Ryan could probably answer this question. This is a couple of times Matt Ryan had to tell me to shut the up while he's trying to call the play, and I'm talking crazy to the defenders on the opposite side of the ball.
That's fantastic.
Did you grant his wish, and did you settle down?
Yeah, man, he got to call the play.
All right. I like it.
So I'm sure y'all have seen this news coming down. How about Sarah Fuller for the Vanderbilt Commodores, who yep. is a elite soccer player for Vanderbilt, is now going to strap on the pads as a place kicker for Vanderbilt tomorrow.
I love it.
So in the instance, and I love this too. I think it's pretty awesome. But as a player, if she kicks one short and it's run back for whatever reason,
don't
and
care.
You're an opposing player. Does it matter that she's a female?
No.
Because she's putting on the pads. She is probably going to have the attitude of come on and bring it on too.
Sarah about to make that tackle.
But I tell you what, man, I'm so for this story.
Me too.
Because I think anybody that follows me on Twitter knows that I have a natural disdain for college kickers. Like all they do is miss. And I'm so tired of seeing bad college kickers. Like, I don't know where the NFL gets its kickers from. Because I swear I never see a field goal go in college. So I'm all for a female at Vanderbilt kicking fields. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm down for this story, too. Listen, the world is changing, as the world has already should have been, the way it's moving towards. You know what I mean? But, hey, it is what it is. It's progress. We're moving forward. And I'm rooting 1,000,000% for Sarah to thrive, make field goals, and it lead to other things for women in this world as well.
Could we ever see a female kicker in the NFL?
I can't wait to see one. I just
could
can't.
Be possible.
But more coaches too, please.
Is she kicking off or kicking field goals?
Field goals, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, because I was wondering, like, if she was doing kickoffs, or let's even say
she's
she's
guaranteed to have them make a tackle.
Like, what if she was on? All right, so let's say she attempts a field goal and there's a bad snap, and the defense recovers it and runs, takes off with it. And what if, in this social media day and age, where you become a meme like that, she rocks some dude, like straight up form tackle, plant pile drives a dude into the turf. That dude's never going to live that down. Like, he will never be allowed on social media again. You know that, right?
Listen, it's a part of the game. Listen, sometimes, hey, Dick LeBeau told me this when he was coaching for the Tennessee Titans while I was playing up there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get the bear. Sometimes the bear gets you, Harry. Hey, sometimes it's just like that.
That would be awesome, by the way, to see that.
What else we got, Bo?
All right, so Green Bay Packers wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Harry, has come under fire by fans for having some fumbles and some drops here lately. He has actually started receiving death threats. Now, his quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, had his back and came out publicly saying these fans need to go away and mind their business and let the players play. So how do you feel about this situation, Harry, first off? But then have you ever received anything like that, death threats? A lot of fantasy football nerds start taking to Twitter and to instant direct messaging and stuff like that of these players mm-hmm. whenever they don't perform on the field. And this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of anybody doing.
So this is one of the problems I have with social media. Social media gives people who aren't tough the platform to try to talk and act like they're tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen this on numerous of occasions where people are just blabbing. And I actually did see that happen to Kyle Williams. Remember the punt returner for the San Francisco 49ers when he fumbled that football?
Yep.
And they lost that game? I can't remember who they were playing. I want to say it was the Saints.
Was it the Saints?
It might have been the Saints.
Yeah.
And he received death threats. And in actual reality, Bo, it's not that serious to where you send somebody death threats about a sporting event. Let's be serious. Now, it's more things in this country we need to be dealing with than sending people death threats
yep.
because yeah. they messed up in a sporting event.
I think 2020 has shown us that sports aren't life or death.
Yeah, listen, that's so low grade and bush league to me, because if you really want to know, listen, if you about that life, how about you just ask them, can you meet them so y'all can duke it out one-on-one?
Well, you
if
know
you
what
really
happens.
Are about that life.
All these guys get behind a keyboard and they get tough. They get they get 140 characters and all of a sudden they have a heart, you know?
Like, I'm sick of it, man. Listen, I understand social media is good for all kind of things. But one of the negative effects that social media does have is people thinking they have this platform to just say any and everything they can to people.
Without repercussion.
Exactly, because there's some people out here that would knock your block off. So you better make sure who you're talking to and who you're running up on or you're tweeting is a cool person, because when you run into somebody who really is about that life and want to see you, I don't have no sympathy for you.
One quick one. Speaking of Marquez Valdez Scantling, I hear a lot of people calling him MVS. Like, don't you have to be good to be called MVS? Like,
look at you. You got this platform, and you want to talk crazy. I'm just messing with you.
I mean, he's okay, but he's playing opposite of Davante Adams, and he's got number 12 as his quarterback. I just don't know that he's good enough to be called MVS. Unless people can't pronounce his name.
When your name is that long, I'm going to call you MVS.
I think that's more actually of what it is how long his name is. Because in the fantasy football industry, it takes too long. You got to say these players' names so repetitively that you have to come up with nicknames like MVS, CEH.
Alameda Zacchaeus, they call him OZ. Listen, no one is trying to say Alameda Zacchaeus every time they say his name, so they say OZ. Hey, OZ, good play, man. Hey, OZ. Hey, you caught that thing from Matt Ryan, baby. Hey, OZ, we see you, baby.
Hey, HD.
What's up? I know you got to get out of here,
but it was a great 3 hours to be working with you, man. So much fun.
Yeah, man, that was fun. We got to do this again sometime soon.
All right, so what did you today? You brought the, how do you say it? I don't want to do a disservice. Not the fire,
not
but
that
the
fire. Hey, we brought that fire today.
I like it.
Let me hear you say it now.
I'm going to keep the fire.
No, it's not fire. It's not fire. It's fire.
Say fire.
Yeah, fire. There you
fire.
Go.
I feel like Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker in Rush Hour. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Ain't no rats in there. Look at that rat.
Now, Tito's what we had for dinner last night. That was Toto.
Tito, my hair.
All right. Good stuff, Harry Douglas. Thanks, buddy. Falcons Report coming up next, 5 o'clock hour. Dukes and Bell, stay there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.